I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott.
And everything's coming up Simpsons.
This episode is brought to you by Crestfield Wax Paper. To be king of your kitchen, use Crestfield Wax Paper.
I will.
We're also brought to you by the XCon Home Security, from the big house to your house.
Hey.
And we're also brought to you by Blood Bath & Beyond Gun Shop.
Ah.
Yeah. I love those sound effects. We're, of course, talking about the episode The Cartridge Family. This is the fifth episode of the ninth season. It originally aired on November 2nd, 1997. It was written by John Swartzwelder.
Hamina.
It was directed by Pete Michaels.
Oh, my God.
And the showrunner at the time. The showrunner at the time was Mike Scully.
Heard of him?
Ooh.
I believe Scully, right? X-Files. Yeah. Fox, I got it.
It's important to believe Scully right now.
I mean, we should just jump in. You've already heard our guest voice.
Hey, guys.
He's a morning. You just want to jump in?
Julia, you're the one who had the tweet about this exact phenomenon.
Yes.
Can you share with the audience?
I recently tweeted that I need a weed card because I get anxiety when podcast guests spend 20 full minutes riffing with each other before introducing their guest. And I can hear... They're
so
breathing.
Stressful.
It's Hampton Young. Let's go.
Hampton Young.
Hampton Young.
You know him from Suicide Buddies podcast.
Thank you.
I think it's Yunt.
I think
Mystery
I'm pronouncing
Science
it right.
Theater. Three.
Yeah, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
What other credits?
Suicide Buddies. Human being.
Yeah.
Lover of nature.
Yeah.
Admirer of animals in a sexual way.
Oh.
Hampton. Yeah. The motherfucking yeah.
We've been friends for a while. You forgot that credit.
Yeah. Frenemies for years.
Are you frenemies with everyone? Is that where you start?
That's where you start.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't give any quarter.
That's good. I like places to aspire to, you know? I guess we should just jump right in. This is a meaty episode. I made the quip before we started recording that I want no politics discussed. If we can try.
You are the reverse Bill Maher today.
No,
Trill
no.
Maher.
I want my numbers to dip.
New rule, no politics. baby.
That was really good. Is that your SNL audition?
Thank you. I have a body pillow of Bill Maher.
Oh, I thought that was Dr. Evil.
Does it have a pull string?
I know. He sounds just like Dr. Evil. It's like, I don't know.
You hit certain erogenous zones.
Him in a room with Lorne Michaels and Dr. Evil, just like battling snark.
They could go to the Austin Powers bar with me, which I'm at every week.
It's a really good bar.
Everyone keeps fucking putting up photos.
That's
me.
Yeah.
Well,
if you're a listener in Los Angeles, I got to recommend this. What is it? Electric Pussycat?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. It's in Glendale, which is where the youth party.
Yeah, go to the mall. And
go to the mall.
Get some nice pants from the pants store.
It's
right
what?
Above it.
Pants. Leave.
Pants USA.
I hear that.
Pants,
I hear good parking.
Yeah.
And that's like the biggest selling point
there
for
me. There are three different parking lots you could go to.
Yeah.
And one of them has an In-N-Out inside of it. It's like the best.
Yeah, let's just move
Why
over
not
there.
Just live in a parking lot?
Okay.
I know. I'm there right now.
We talk about this all the time. Obviously, we've had this going on for so long that a lot of the best episodes are already picked. So in addition to knowing why you picked this episode and why it's important to you, I'm curious how far down your favorites list it actually is and what might be your real favorite, if you had to say.
Oh, when I sent in the list, I said because it's a good list.
It's and a you, very
a lot,
good list.
A lot have already been taken, which were excellent. But I really do love this one especially because I've talked with a friend where like it's like pound for pound, like some of the best joke writing, like going in is so consistent, like every joke is pretty good in this episode, which is kind of like baffling almost.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also just tonally an episode I like more is I think it's is it Sideshow Bob Roberts?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the name of it.
And, when he runs for mayor.
It's just so like
spooky
dark
and
cynical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a movie. It's like a short movie and like. So maybe just tonally, I kind of dig that one maybe more.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's switch it. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
That's
we've never
not
done
how
this
your
before.
Podcast works,
no,
guys.
We're branching out.
Epic Rick and Morty seasons 1 through 3, all
oh,
episodes.
All of them.
That's my favorite Simpsons
cool.
episode.
Wow. Fucking yeah. dope.
Bender's in there with Cartman.
Yeah. I want to talk about the Rick and Morty comment videos from the fans on YouTube. Ooh. That's my episode that I want to pick. I really want to hear 20-something guys named Cody deconstruct the brilliance of Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland.
What's yeah. up? My name's Bryce. I'm into time travel.
Yeah, what's up? All right. Cool. Hey, Bryce. Yeah, I mean, tonally, the thing, you're hitting on something that I recently had a conversation with friend of the podcast, John Ungaro, who's one of the Stonecutters, if you go to Simpsons Trivia in L.A.
Oh, cool.
And we were talking about, you know, like ranking your favorite episodes, and there is like a distinct difference of, for funsies, mm-hmm. just a fun mm-hmm. episode
yeah.
that, you know, you can sit and just enjoy and let it wash over you. Absolutely, like Itchy and Scratchy Land.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's
oh, exactly.
a fantastic
yeah, yeah.
episode.
It's
as far
such
as substance
journey.
Goes,
yeah.
it's probably not as hard hitting as, say, a Lisa on Ice.
Ah,
oh, okay.
So you gotta have
wait,
a little column A.
So
a
now you're talking
B.
not only. Like, say, in the scope of an episode could be like a movie. Like, Itchy and Scratchy Land is like Jurassic Park, you know?
Yeah.
And then Lisa on Ice is like a really sweet, endearing, like, episode that hits, like,
yeah.
totally different
breaks
vibes.
Your heart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would say the episode that I did choose, The Cartridge Family, doesn't have. I was rewatching it, and I was like, well, it doesn't really have, like, the sweetness that you get in a lot of episodes, but it's like. Shit where, like, Homer's walking around the house just firing the gun around and then being like, why did I lose my family? Like, it's just like, that is a really funny character decision that's like, I don't know, that to me is a great joke. You
it's
know,
great, but I will yeah. argue that it does have, there is a lot of sweetness in this episode. I mean, there's a lot of, like, painful moments between Homer and Marge where mm-hmm. Marge is, like, pleading. I mean, we'll get
oh,
into
yeah.
it.
No, yeah, I was
but,
thinking
like,
about that.
Whenever we get that Alf clause and, like, like, that's when you know it's a good episode.
Is
you're
that
like,
the music riff they always
meow,
like?
Meow, meow, meow.
So it's cats.
Meow,
they just have theatrical cats.
Yeah, it was Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah,
Webber.
Yeah, I mean, to get into kind of.
You know, he.
From Cars.
He, the man who. I have a quick.
Oh,
this
King
is not my Andrew Lloyd Webber story. It's I'm quoting another comic who I met very briefly in New York, whatever. He told it on a show where he was
What's
working.
What's his name?
I forget his name.
Oh, no.
I know. But,
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer. He was working at a cat cafe in New York and was, like, the host at the cat cafe. And it was, like, the first and only cat cafe that had
oh,
opened
no.
up in Brooklyn.
Oh, no.
And all of a sudden this
you
old man.
Down. You made it worse.
I know. This old man approaches his hostess stand and says, you know, I want to go inside. And he says, I'm so sorry, but we've had reservations booked up for months. We're the only cat cafe in Brooklyn. The guy explodes with rage and goes, don't you know who I am? And it turns out to be Andrew Lloyd Webber.
That's funny.
And he says, I created cats. I deserve to be inside.
Oh, no.
Jellicle cat, sir.
So this guy, this comic, he goes, all right, one moment, sir. He goes back to his bosses, and he says, Andrew Lloyd Webber is outside, and he's demanding to come in.
Cats.
And his bosses go, well, does he have a reservation? And he goes, no. Well, then say no. He goes out, and he tells him no. And he just, like, you know,
yeah,
the way he described
very
it.
Theatrically.
Angrily
saying
yeah,
it.
Very theatrically.
Took out, his ascot was burning. But I just love the premise of him having ridden cats and thus entitled
that,
to be
well,
with
cats.
That's like saying he created Jesus because
yeah.
Jesus Christ Superstar.
I should be able to
I
fuck your
it.
Cat. I created cats. Don't you know
no,
I am?
No, Jellicle cats. Okay. So we're bouncing around.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of was about to hit on maybe the first political thing that I was thinking about there is you're right. It drives their marriage kind mm-hmm. of apart in mm-hmm. this episode, like Homer and Marge. And it's because of this like sickness, this obsession with guns. Like he literally can't throw it away. He can't get rid of it. And he's
yeah.
just like, it's the power. I just like it. You know, it's so weird. That
there's
that's
so
like,
many levels to this episode,
that's like what
too.
Literally people believe, I guess, you
so,
know?
Did you grow up with any type of, like, presence of guns in your...
Both my parents are guns, so...
Wow.
Thank you,
the muzzle.
So hard for you.
Muzzle. Muzzle tops. Yes, we had guns there all, like, everywhere. I know that sounds bad, but it's like we didn't have a cabinet. Like, my dad just had a pistol by his... bed.
Yeah.
And we had just
hanging
had like shotguns in my closet that they would just keep in my closet. And I was like, so they were around.
Yeah. Because Julia, I would guess that you probably never saw a gun unless you were like a gun range, maybe?
Yeah, I didn't see a gun until I went to a gun range on a date. And like was trying to be like a real cool girl about it. I think I like my hands were shaking and I could barely pull the trigger and I was like, just take the selfie. And then that
you just
was
shoot
that.
Yourself. Oh, I'm such a dork.
I was trying to be a cool girl at a gun range to impress my opa who loves guns, and he was just like, come on, do it. And I was really good at it. Made me kind of want to get into it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I never really saw it through.
It's I'm pretty like good at skeet shooting.
Yeah. The long range shit, I'm not good
at. People die from it, would you stop it?
I'm not a bad shot, but I, no. I as my podcast about suicide would imply, I'm far too suicidal to have guns just laying yeah. around. So I was always like, yeah, this is bad. This is really negligent.
Yeah.
Guns not locked away.
That makes me think of, you've seen Brain Candy, Kids in the Hall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like his, Kevin MacDonald's dad's character, he was like a depressive and he's like, hey, son. Did you give the banister a good dusting?
Yeah,
Pa. Good. What about the gun? Did you give the gun a good dusting?
Yeah, Pa.
Yeah, got it.
Nice and shiny.
And then you just hear him fuck up his own suicide. That got really dark. If you want a good old-fashioned good time, go and watch Kids in the Hall.
Hey,
Brain
I don't
candy.
Like dark things. Anyway, check out my suicide podcast.
So what we like to do for people that haven't watched this episode in a while, we like to catch them up by reading the synopsis off Wikipedia, ice cold.
Ooh.
So it could be good.
Yeah, it could be a real piece of shit.
Yeah. In the episode, Homer purchases a gun to protect his family, of which Marge disapproves.
The family?
Homer!
I place them how they lace them.
Homer, don't be a mass shooter!
Thank you.
Look, come on, Marge, you want to shoot a bunch of people.
Homer begins to show...
Wait, can he finish his spec script?
Yes,
I love
please.
This.
Oh, jeez. I shot a bunch of people. Oh.
Now I'm losing
Ray Romano.
It. Now I'm losing it.
What are you doing here?
Yeah, it became
Ray Romano. He's in the NRA as well. The R stands for Ray.
Deborah, and you would think... Deborah, I don't see why I can't shoot a bunch of people. Deborah.
You would think that it's an Everybody Loves Raymond crossover, but it's a Men of a Certain Age crossover. That was the my Shyamalan twist.
Thank you.
Homer begins to show extremely careless gun usage, causing Marge to leave him.
Well,
I hate it when that happens.
When she catches Bart using the gun without their permission. The episode was intended to show guns in a neutral way. And faced some problems.
True.
Yeah.
Very
with
true.
The censors.
Yeah.
Critical reaction was mostly positive.
Hampton reaction, A++++.
You know, usually I don't read the full paragraph from Wikipedia, but I felt like, you know what? Today's my day.
It is your day.
Gotta give one for me.
They're being fair. I mean, that episode, I kind of was like, it's a little too even-handed, especially maybe now what we've seen with gun control.
It's probably why things are how they are.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Simpsons
effects. Simpsons affects policy. What can I say?
Well, this episode
Mr.
ends.
Senator, what do you say?
was I interrupting you?
Oh.
I was.
No,
but,
no.
Something I wanted to say about, like, I have such bizarre, I'm sure we all have things like this, but I have such a bizarre memory of this episode as a child just being very, like, the color brown. Like, I just remember, like, this episode's browner than other episodes.
Mm.
And it's because the color of the hotel, like, it's wooded, like, on the inside.
Yeah.
I was like, I was right. It was brown. It was just like, shut up.
Wow.
Like, I wanted to give myself a wedgie. I'm just
and
like,
you're nonstop
what am I saying?
Streak.
I want to see, I want to see your version of Inside Out with all of your emotions watching.
That's brown emotion. One emotion that's just the autistic. That's brown.
That's brown.
That's brown.
Oh, my favorite memory. It smelled like.
Oh, wow.
But this episode starts at a very fun, colorful, bright soccer game. And we have that audio. So let's listen to it.
Open wide for some soccer!
The Continental Soccer Association is coming to Springfield. It's all here. Fast kicking, low scoring, and ties. You bet.
Hey, Dad, how come you never taken us to see a soccer game?
I don't know.
You'll see all your favorite soccer stars, like Arriaga, Arriaga 2, Bariaga, Aruglia, and Pizzozza.
Oh, I never heard of those people.
And they'll all be signing autographs. Woohoo! This match will determine once and for all which nation is the greatest on Earth, Mexico or Portugal.
Yes, yes, oh God, yes!
Perfect. That made me want to have kids. Like, I've never wanted to have kids. I was like, I could just do that. That sounds fun.
I could just take them to things.
Yeah. You can.
I love you guys are just now realizing.
We can do that.
I could bring a child to a thing.
Oh. Yeah. Can indoctrinate
it's not all
our...
yelling and religion.
No. You can force them to like the things I like. I appreciate that. I will say, I've been to a monster truck rally, and it does warm my heart to see dads bring their young kids there, even though their eardrums are getting just blasted out.
They got to get blasted out sometime.
Yeah.
Why not with dad?
They're better when they're young.
Oh, no.
Well, it's just like when like parents, are, like the cool parents are like, well, they're going to drink somewhere. Like, they could just drink in my house.
I just want them to have monster trucks at my house. We don't want to go out to...
Listen.
Who knows what monster trucks are driving out there with their friends.
Exactly. And... Who can do a background check?
Making out with boys in monster trucks.
It all happens under our roof. Anyway.
I would love to hear a making out story in a monster truck or like a virginity story. I'm sure it's a thing.
What would be,
I mean, obviously, it's like he would just have an incredibly tall, small penis. We were in a monster truck and he had micro penis. It was an innie.
Yeah, I must have missed that episode of The Moth.
Moth slam. You win.
Yeah.
Monster trucks.
The moth and monster trucks go well together because when you look at the sign, they go to the game and it says, tonight, soccer. Tomorrow, monsters of poetry.
Yeah, monsters of poetry. Yeah, I feel like this was right around the time that, like, Deaf Poetry Jam was, like, popping up on HBO.
White man, why you make me crazy?
I gotta ask, quick poll for the room. Were we all super into slam poetry for one weekend in college?
Oh.
For one weekend, it truly defined America.
Kind of like how we were all Wiccan for a week in middle school? No?
Oh.
Anybody else?
I feel like I missed out.
Oh, yes.
I was just
exploring. We were in a coven together.
Yeah. Just trying on different identities, like a blazer at
a
Goodwill.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think I will be a big pants person.
Yeah.
Nope.
Something. At the soccer game, like we already heard a lot of the, fun that you can expect from the ad. But when you're actually there, something that's so funny is how slow and boring and awful a soccer game is, as is explained by The Simpsons. But something that I think is really funny is this very odd throwaway line of Marge, which is like, "I can't believe this used to be an internment camp."
Yeah.
Which was just like, "Wow."
Oh, I know.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. I mean, this is a.
That was a great line.
I didn't learn that this was a Swartzwelder episode until right now. And it makes sense looking back because it is wall-to-wall jokes and all of the jokes are those kind of like jokes that creep up on you, like sit in your brain a little bit more, like the internment camp one. And there's all these twists and turns.
That's
in
the
this.
Thing is like, with this one, I love coming back to it because I'm just like, I'll always just be like, laughing, smiling at it. Like I'm like, it's just like jokes I forget. Like there's so many and they're so kind of like moving back and forth and on top of each other that it's like, I don't know. If you're just into like jokes, which I guess, you know, I'm a comic. We all are comics.
Yeah.
There's just something so soothing about like, oh, wow, it's somebody just like nailing it.
Yeah. I know. That's Swartzwelder for you. Hmm. God damn it.
So some other people that are getting nailed are the people that are in this giant fight. So I love how this fight starts. Everyone is so bored that they are fighting over who gets to leave the arena the fastest, which is such a funny premise to begin with.
Oh, but right before, there's a really funny beat. And not to timestamp this episode, but we are recording when the World Cup is going on.
Is that true?
Oh, my shit.
In this world? At this time?
I know that because I went to this place, Tony's Darts Away.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a sign saying what time they'd be open. And it was early. It was like 5 a.m. because people want to go to drink at Tony's Darts Away and watch the game.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I want to get into this. This seems like fun. I don't know.
I enjoy a 6 a.m. beer.
Yeah.
You so don't know what you're going to do with your life. You're like, yeah, maybe I'll be this person. I'm a big pants person.
Well, maybe we didn't all go through the Wiccan thing earlier.
Right, of course.
And I'm going through this now.
Absolutely. And that is also your pilot, your network pilot.
Wiccan girl. What?
Wiccan girl.
She was a Wiccan girl.
Oh, cool. Wow, you're a musician, too.
He was my name is Earl.
Oh, that's great. Well, I was going to say that, you know, as the Simpsons are making fun of how boring soccer is, because during this big high-stakes Mexico versus Portugal game, all they're doing is kicking the ball back and forth on the field and nothing is happening.
To the middle. Back to the left.
Yeah.
And back Kent to Brockman, the middle and hold.
Mm-hmm. Kent Brockman is giving the commentary and he's very bored. But then we cut to, I think, the Mexican commentator and he's just giving it everything he has, and it's that classic, like, to the middle, go, hold, you know, you get that, like, excitement, and that's really
hold
fun.
Hold it!
Yeah, it's great.
It, like, was cracking me up so hard.
If there are any moments of this fight that particularly jump out to you, please share them.
The fact that they decide that they're like, okay, so it's a soccer riot, it's, you know, Mexico versus Portugal, and there's just a contingent of Scottish thugs who are just like, all right, boys, let's take them to school.
Yeah.
And they just start wading into people. They
knock over pipes.
Yeah, it's just like the level to get it to. They wanted to get the show to just mob justice.
Yeah.
Something's happening out in the streets, or what was it? What do they call it? When martial law. That's what gets declared. Homer starts up like the home
becomes like the
self-defense thing. Yeah, to like get a gun.
Yeah.
So their whole thing is just like, how can we make a soccer riot destroy Springfield overnight?
Yeah.
And I thought that was great because it's like the Scottish hooligans, they knock over Barney. Barney's a drunk and he takes out like five people.
You get Milhouse and Nelson in there for a bit, which is great.
Yeah.
You get there are a couple really great beats. One is Homer just insisting so much to be a part of it that, you know, he has to push the guy, which leads to everything else happening there. But the thing that I like the most is like the whole city is on fire and you still have valet happening correctly.
Yes.
So there's still a valet who, like, gives him
his
change back.
There's so many great visual jokes in here.
And I love every episode where Springfield just gets burnt up or, the whole mob of the town acts as one or has a voice.
I love a nice, angry mob.
Yeah, yeah.
When everything is on fire, though, one of the things that really got me is you're passing all the, Evergreen Terrace houses. And just in the background, you see, these two kids just push over a dog. The dog is fully gets pushed. It's so
That's
funny.
Amazing.
Dog violence.
Yeah. I have to say, I do like dog violence. Only in cartoons.
Only in cartoons.
And not of Santa's Little Helper, just of a dog I don't know.
No. Of course.
Like a bad dog. Like Hitler's dog.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like Hitler's dog and Melania are like kind of, I sympathize with both of them similarly, you know?
Yeah. They're
when
trapped,
Hitler's
definitely.
Dog wore that coat.
We're time-stamping even more. Well, I've said on the podcast before that I enjoy this very specific Simpsons visual gag of I see it in like the Canyonero commercial where the Canyonero is going through the meadow and like just taking out deer one by one, and you just see them go like just something flying, like maybe just a living thing flying off. You see it with the flying pig, like
cat in the catapult. Yeah. Did you say that already?
I love that shit.
Dude, that's what gets me off, dude.
Yo, dude,
this shit's fucking toy.
So let's take a quick break and think about some of our favorite animals being shot off into the distance.
Yeah. Maximum Fun's new sci-fi comedy podcast, Bubble, is coming to San Diego Comic-Con on July 21st. At 1 p.m., Bubble cast members Travis McElroy, Cristela Alonso, Eliza Skinner, Allison Becker, Mike Mitchell, Jordan Morris, and Danielle Radford will be signing autographs. Tickets are required, but free. Then at 5 p.m., the cast will participate in a panel moderated by Jesse Thorne, held at the San Diego Central Library. For more information, visit MaximumFun.org/SDCC.
All right, what a good break. What animals did you guys think about?
A goldfish.
Oh, hey, well, wait a second. I have to go and just say, that reminds me of The Simpsons.
Tell me more!
Well, they're Marge is fearful that everyone's going to, you know, come into the house and you know, wreak havoc. And then well, you know, I have the burglary alarm, so we don't have to worry about that. And someone is clearly trying to get to the house. And it's like, watch the fish, Marge.
Watch the fish, Marge.
If you don't remember it, there's like a very weird Rube Goldberg-esque situation going on. I don't know what was supposed to happen to the fish, but the fish gets taken from the mail slot.
I think it's the same like premise of the canary in a coal mine kind of thing of like when the canary stops like tweeting, then you know that like there's poison in the air. So maybe if like the fish, I don't know.
I think Homer's just dumb.
There's an explanation for everything, Hampton, and I will not have you besmirch this.
He truly is in this episode, because I really just watched it this morning. I was like, man, he is just there's like a turning point in like Homer being how people wrote him, and now he's just uber like dumb by this level. Like everything he says is like could put the family in danger. Like he can't discern reality. My brother at one point kind of pointed it out to me, like the first joke where he was like, okay, now they're just like Homer can't discern reality.
Yeah.
Was he one time looked at like a photo, I think, of Lenny, and he just was like, bye, Lenny. Like, tell Mr. Burns I'm out here. Like, he just can't discern fucking reality.
That's really sad.
So past that, it's like then they'd have bits where like his head would get so comically like would kill, like get crushed or shit, where it's like they were kind of living in like a little bit more and more of a hyper reality as time gets
like a cartoon
goes on. Yeah, I guess you could say.
There are moments in this episode in particular where the subject matter is so dark, and this kind of relates to like it's weird to see Bart get choked out in better animation. When it's bolder, you're just like, it's distant from me. It's fine. I like it. But like with this episode, like
I love that.
with this episode, you know, once we do get the guns into play and you see everything that happens, the idea of Homer having a gun and turning off things, with it, I was thinking like, what would this look like in a live action show? I think I'd be scared to death. But I can't know until
best King of Queens episode ever.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that'd be so good.
Isn't that how the series ended?
No one ever got that far.
You told Leah Remini, you're going back to Scientology. And I'm going back to Kevin Can Wait.
We need to talk about Kevin. That's about guns, anyway.
Yes, Kevin was a gun.
Kevin was a gun.
Back. Yeah, I guess what is...
It all comes back to a thing that's not The Simpsons.
It would be funny if there was an indie movie called We Need to Talk About Kevin that posed as this psychological thriller and was really about gun reform.
Yeah.
Starring Kevin James.
Yeah. Or any Kevin Hart. There's a lot of Kevins that we could pull. Kevin Nealon. Anyway.
Well, speaking of pulling, I was going to say this man pulls stuff into his coat, but it didn't go as smoothly as I hoped. So, Julia, it's time for you to take the wheel.
All right. XCon Home Security, one of our sponsors.
Hello, thank you.
Hello, thank you. Of course, naturally, you know, the whole town is on fire and the Simpsons family need to, you know, protect themselves. So we have this quick visit from XCon Home Security. Very funny. He's talking through what they need in their house and he's stealing stuff as he's talking through them.
Yeah. And he goes, criminals could be hiding in your groceries right now.
And then the sound effect of just going like, dun, dun, like that. Just like,
that's a great moment with Marge just being like, oh no!
One of the lines, so basically they're saying, you know, oh, you haven't changed your keys. The people who lived here for the last 3 years could be inside your house right now. But as he's leaving, he's saying, you know, you could get something that's like this fancy thing that doesn't do anything and it's cheap. It's like, okay, that sounds great. Let's do that one. She's like, or you could get this really good one that assures your safety and it's only $500. And suddenly he's kicked out. And he's just like, surely you can't put a price on your family's life. And Homer's just like, I would have thought that too, yet here we are.
Yeah, I love that line. Well, before that, he, the home security guy or whatever, he suggests like bulletproof Lucite.
Will we suffocate? He also, I noticed like his character, they drew him with like really dark bags under his eyes. And I was like, was that a choice to make him seem shady? Like, they've had shady characters before.
Right.
But it's the, probably it's the darkest
the mobsters
under
have
eyes.
The...
Yeah, they have one line, but then it was like it's shaded in. So I kind of was just like, wow, they really went the extra level to be like, this guy might be dead.
Yeah.
he's like really dehydrated. He hasn't slept in days.
Yeah. So basically, we get to the point where Homer needs to find a way to protect his family. He goes to, what is the name of our sponsor, the store?
Blood Bath and Beyond Gun Shop.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Still
really nice work.
Still fucking good.
Still fucking good.
And we get the immediate, like, I'd like to buy your deadliest gun, please. Aisle 6, right next to the Sympathy Cot.
Yeah. And when he gets the gun, he immediately starts dry-clicking it in the guy's face. Like, just he's the most so irresponsible person possible.
I wrote down, it's the some guy voice.
I love him.
I love
wise,
him.
The wise ass.
Wise ass. Wise guy.
Is he
wise
the guy who's like, sure.
Oh, you don't like the old-time bikes, eh?
You don't like the old-time bikes, eh?
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's so good.
So this, you know...
I want an episode about him.
Hey.
I want to get to the bottom of him.
Hey.
Start your own podcast.
And at my own Simpsons, where I get to the bottom of him.
So you know, to Julia's point, we shan't be talking about politics. So I'll just say I really liked this line, and it didn't make me think.
Okay, I've changed my mind. We can talk about politics, but only the kinds
Donald
that
Trump
make
has tiny
me
hands.
Feel good.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, get it out.
Trump.
It helped.
We got him.
The wise guy is saying, or in this case, the gun shop owner is saying, you know, hey, be careful. He's like, I don't have to be careful. I have a gun. And he starts offering all the different things you could get for it, like all, you know, the silencer, the loudener, mm-hmm. And this shoots down police helicopters. Oh, I don't need anything like that. Yet.
Yeah. Oh, before that, I love he goes, speed cocker. Ooh. Like a little pervy, just a little smidge of a pervy joke.
But the line that really would be good to, you know, post a Frinkiac gif of was the idea of the waiting period of 5 days. And he's saying, like, 5 days, but I'm angry now. I'd kill you if I had my gun. Yeah, well, you don't.
I love that it then moves into a really, like, easy transition into a Tom Petty song.
Yeah.
Like a really sometimes like The Simpsons really doesn't do a ton of like reference songs.
No, I mean, only when they themselves are in the episode. Like
aside
from like, you
it
know,
would come on the radio rather than just over a scene. I guess we're done. What's that noise?
That's a great point. Normally when you get music, it's because there's a band, like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, like
yeah,
they're visiting.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, like Marge gets the Why Do Birds Only Appear as her, the doorbell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it's so interesting to have The Waits by Tom Petty.
It's a little Family Guy, but they do it a 1,000 times better.
Yeah. Exactly.
It predated Family Guy. Thank you.
So, one of the
Family man, I love him.
Family dad.
Family
one of
dad.
The one of the things that relative dad. One of the things that I really liked was a truly dad quality to me, which is just muttering a lot.
Yes.
And I think it's such good acting, and I think it's so funny of just him kind of like, oh, stupid guy thinks he's so good because he has a bunch of guns, and he's not going to have a bunch of guns. And then Lisa's like, it's 3 a.m. He's like, oh, daughter does not prepare herself. It's can't rear themselves as kids.
I love that.
The worst guy to own a gun for days just muttering to himself about everyone he wants to punish.
Pushy kids think they can tell you what to do in their own house.
I love her going, it's 3 a.m, go in your room. And he goes, Marge kicked me out.
And then Lisa's little face, she's just so funny. And like just covering herself with a pillow.
Oh, so cute.
She's a good kid.
Yeah.
I hope she goes to college. I hope she makes it.
Yeah. I don't know.
I love during that waiting Tom Petty sequence, we get him sitting in his little fold-out chair on his lawn. A Target truck drives past. Ducks pass.
Ducks in a row.
Rabbits pass.
In a row.
Patty and Selma on a bike. And then Flanders on his lawnmower.
Many times, back
twice,
and forth.
Yeah.
And finally, the waiting time is up. Homer's waiting outside. He barges in. He's like, oh, thank God. And then he has just had to go to the bathroom.
I love it.
Wonderful joke. And then we get this thing of all the things Homer has done wrong. I don't know if you have that list.
I do.
Hit me with it.
He spent time in a mental institution. He has frequent problems with alcohol. He beat up President Bush.
Former
President Bush. So then he gets labeled potentially dangerous.
Oh, no.
limits to just three handguns or less.
So yeah, we cut to the household, and we get this very sweet moment of like the kids are watching TV. Marge is just kind of hanging around. It's a nice little family affair, and he comes in and he says, "Close your eyes, I got you something." And just that, like, you get the POV of Marge, and just like barrel right in her face.
And before that, she's like,
"Yeah, she's happy."
Oh, nice. God. Poor Marge.
And so that the gun scene, the gun shop scene, they're all gun scenes.
When you think about life, it's just one long gun scene.
It's all one long barrel, isn't it?
Yeah. But you get two different like self-referential things, because you got the one of like, you know, mentioning the episodes in which he's been potentially dangerous.
Yeah.
But then you also get, don't you remember when Maggie shot Mr. Burns? It's like, I thought that was Smithers. And then Lisa's just like, well, that would have made more sense.
I love it.
Not afraid to take digs at themselves.
I love it.
You know?
Yeah. There's another great Homer moment around here where I think Lisa says, TV said that you're more likely to shoot a family member than an intruder. And Homer just goes, TV said that? I love it when I treat TV as an extended member of the family. And then also Homer says, well, if I didn't have this gun, the King of England could just walk in here and start shoving you around. Do you want that?
Yeah.
Do you? And then he starts shoving her.
It's like it's like such a smart way of going around just bluntly talking about politics.
Yeah.
Like to just be like, I think Lisa does say, Dad, the Second Amendment is a remnant from like colonial times. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's a little on the nose, but it's like.
But she's the person who would say that, too.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It makes perfect sense. And, like, the joke right after is so fucking funny. Do you want the King of England here? Like,
yeah. Well, in a lesser person's hands, you know, I mean, certainly not anyone on The Simpsons. They're all gods. But but definitely Swartzwelder is, like, you know, really, like, riding that line and making it feel really organic, first and foremost. And, you know, like, if I had read this premise in, say, a TV guide where it's only, like, five words, Homer gets a gun, you know, if it were any other sitcom, I'd be like, oh, great, the political episode.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like a lot of sitcoms, especially as of late, given our current political times, have gone that route. I think Superstore has an episode about it. But they do it in a way where it, like, feels organic, and B, never feels like they are inserting their own politics into it. It's just like, here's what could happen when,
yeah, exactly.
Like,
here are all the sides.
Everyman.
Yeah, yeah, draw your own conclusions. And Homer's logically going to be the type of dude who'd buy a gun and misuse it. And Lisa would absolutely have, like, apprehensions, you know?
Right.
It all makes sense.
Yeah. And it's that power thing that you mentioned earlier, Hampton, that, like, you know, I just like it feeling in my hands, which is why as we're going into what is like basically the second or third act of this episode, I love the twists that come with him going to the NRA.
Yeah, and it's a fun little gimmick. So when he goes to the NRA he brings Marge, you know, to kind of like convince, like, no, you just need more information about it. And if you go and you still don't like it, then I'll just continue to teach you about it. And
we can argue some more. If you go and you don't absolutely love it.
So at the NRA meeting, they have a fun twist on a, what do you call that thing? What's that
metal
machine?
Metal detector?
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Cute little gimmick where everybody is walking in fine except for, you know. Thanks. And so, you know, and you take it from here. And so, basically, he doesn't have a gun. They give him a gun. They all go in. It's always funny to see who they choose to fill a club or who they have within.
Yeah.
And it's funny that
who's
Lenny.
In the band who's, you know, hanging out outside of school, basically.
Yeah, so the first person who's at the podium is Lenny, who's explaining, you know, they're manufactured for a reason, you know, to you know, deal with these like, scary animals, like the flying squirrel.
Modern super animals.
The flying squirrel or the electric eel.
Wow, those are really, really good,
really
Lenny.
Good.
I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
Right, are you sick of women telling you what a good Lenny impression you do?
quit woman splaining to me how good I am at.
Of course, we get Mo S.
Oh, yeah.
Who someone was trying to stick him up. He shoots him in the spine. And then we get Homer S. And his reasons are actually somewhat sweet. He's saying that he wants to, you know, protect his family and, you know, and he wants to be a lifetime member of this wonderful organization. And when Marge says, you know, she's not even being mean about it. She's just saying, like, I don't know. It just makes me feel really uncomfortable. Like, I don't feel good about this. You get the moment of Homer just being like, for once in your life, Marge, please be fair.
There's a couple. I mean, this is, again, like another meta joke of, like, you know, the show as a whole. We get another one of, not to bounce around too much, but when Marge says something like, you know, I've put up with a lot in our marriage, and then no one has an argument against her.
Not only that.
Same joke.
Not only that, but the kids, when Homer is about to open his mouth and say something, the kids shake their heads, oh, just like, no. Dad, don't, please, no. Yeah.
And then doesn't the gun go off?
Yeah.
And just does this weird fucking Rube Goldberg way of, like, stabbing a picture of Marge, and, like,
yeah,
Lisa's just
yeah.
To be fair, Mom, that was pretty
that
cool.
That was pretty cool. I love that Lisa says that, too.
Yeah.
So basically, after the meeting, you get to go to the shooting range.
Yeah.
And you see the different residents. They're showing you this idea. Like, listen, they're talking about guns for the first time. The only time you've ever really seen them is when it's in action movies, when it's the cops, or when mm-hmm. it's Mo, because Mo is that type of person. But now we've learned that Dr. Hibbert, who's a respected doctor, mm-hmm. and that Agnes...
who's, like, hungry for blood.
She has a grenade.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
you know, just all these different people. And you get Homer shooting the cans, which reminds me, of course, of my precious cans.
My antique cans. But this has a really great misdirect.
Do it.
Oh, yeah. He is shooting, like, every can of Buzz Cola. Boom, 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 boom. And then Lenny just taps his shoulder and points in the opposite direction where the actual targets were. And then Homer yells, sorry. And then, like, the pimply-faced teen is behind the counter at the concession stand where all the cans are. And he goes, oh, it's my fault.
So sweet.
Yeah.
So this next part has one of my favorite jokes, favorite visual jokes ever, which is at the Quickie Mart, he just keeps his gun out because he doesn't think to, like, put it away.
Yeah.
And, of course, makes Apu, who's been robbed so many times, think that he's about to potentially get robbed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's this moment of Homer. This was very interesting to me as a human who's just kind of like, I've had this thing happen, not with a gun, but with bad things, where it's just like someone suggests that you're going to do something, and you say, I wouldn't do that, but maybe I would. And, like, that alone is very, like, a very just like, oh, I'm that person a lot of the time. But then he gets this idea of, like, what would happen if...
What if I robbed the Quickie Mart?
And he only has the only premise is that he robs it once. He doesn't say, and then I become a successful millionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
But the
just
image...
Like, yeah.
It's
the power thing. It's like, I love how they really treat it like, it's like, let's just be honest, like, guns are very powerful and intoxicating, and really at the end of the day, you just want to keep your gun.
Yeah, it makes you feel cool.
So it's like, yeah, him just being like, what would my life be like if I robbed the Quickie Mart?
And then it's like... Yeah, it's basically, so you get to this gigantic house, Homer's wearing a senator sash, and Marge is in this amazing pink bikini, doing the monkey, pretty much, and they're just having
Twirling the times of their lives.
Yeah, and he's got this big long gun.
Rocking chair. And there's great music.
There's no downside to robbing a convenience store.
This has been memeified several times over. And in fact, you know what? Let's take a brief break and think about all the times we've maybe used this meme.
Hi, this is J. Keith Van Stratton, host of Go Fact Yourself here on the Maximum Fun Network. On Go Fact Yourself, we take the smartest people we know and make them look dumb.
Paul, by the way, how much do you know about chicken husbandry?
You gotta give him that grain.
All right,
gotta give him that grain.
And then smart again.
What future Hall of Fame pitcher for the Cleveland Indians became the first active player to enlist?
Bob Feller.
Oh, okay.
We've got me, co-host Helen Hong, plus celebrity guests and actual surprise experts. In the coming weeks, you can hear guests like Maria Bamford, Tom Bergeron, Paul F. Tompkins, Janet Varney, and Grant Imahara. And if you're in the New York area, come check us out live. We're doing two shows there on July 21st and July 22nd. Go to GoFactorPod.com for tickets and more. We'll see you in New York, or on the first and third Friday of every month here on the Maximum Fun Network.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Okay, can we really talk
about
guns? Okay.
So this, I feel a little selfish because I just talked about a moment I love, and I'm about to talk about another moment that I love.
Go for it, girl.
Must we?
Thank you. And, you know, frankly, you can't stop me. You get this really beautifully directed, or like, you know, they do a lot with the camera in this. Like, you get the basketball on the roof of the house. And Lisa's just like, oh, my ball's up there. Can you help me get my ball down? And he shoots it. Mm-hmm. And she jumps back, which is already very funny. And, of course, it just flattens completely. But then, if that wasn't funny enough, she's like, do you need help getting the cat down, too? And, she's like, no, thanks.
Yeah, great.
Like, no, thank you.
Great voice acting in that.
Yeah, we get this really fun sequence of Homer living it up.
This is like, this is really like building up that he's just going to eventually be just shooting everything in his house.
Oh, yeah, because we get the dinner plates.
Yeah.
And when he misses one, he shoots it dead on with, see you in hell, dinner plate.
Yeah, the way his face...
Then they're all eating spaghetti out of the baking sheets or whatever.
And I love Marge, like, she has a glass of spaghetti and meatballs, and she attempts to eat it. She, like, puts her mouth up to it, and she goes... Do you guys know what happened to my dinner plate?
You probably left it at work.
Yes, what a great line.
That's so funny. She works at home, people.
Also, a cup of spaghetti and meatballs actually looks really good.
It looks great.
It looks like what a high-end restaurant would do.
Yeah, like a deconstructed.
Yeah, this is deconstructed spaghetti und meatballs.
Und.
Instead of a shot glass.
So, you know, at this point, you know, Marge is saying, just like, hey, you know, no guns at the dinner table. And it's like, you know, you said the breakfast table. It's the same table.
Yeah, I love it.
And then that's when we get that moment of the gun going off and the, no offense, Mom, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was early on that.
And so we get that heart moment that you were talking about, Julia. These are now, it's gotten to a point where she's really concerned. And she's like, if you care about me and the kids, come find us because we're going to get out of here. At which point...
always threatening to leave.
Yeah.
That's how you keep.
Yeah. I forgot that you're a Marge hater.
But he says that he's going to get rid of it. And, you know, she says, I'm a lucky woman. And he says, and I'm a wonderful man. And we cut to thinking that the gun is gone. And now it's Milhouse and Bart.
Yeah.
And
I love this.
Walk us through it.
Oh, great. It's Milhouse... And, you know, I got to say, Milhouse is being, you know...
Typical Milhouse.
Sexy.
Well, ooh. But he says, he's chasing after Bart, and he goes, you said there'd be fudgicles. Where's the fudgicles? And then Bart says, first it's fudge-sickles. And then, you know, they're somewhere here. They open up the fridge, and then, you know, one of the drawers comes out.
The vegetable drawer.
The vegetable, the crisper, and the gun is just laying among the lettuce.
I never thought the boy would want to produce. That moment is like so interesting to me in the episode because when I was a kid, one time I was at a friend's house and he took out a gun.
Whoa.
And it was like a six shooter and like it looked kind of fake. And he was just holding it and I didn't know, like, I was like, what is that? And I literally like... pointed it at a different friend and was like, wow, this is like so real. Like, cocked it.
Oh my God.
Like, and then he was
How
like,
How old were you?
Like a teenager. I think I was like 16 or something. So, ooh. Like, I would have gone to fucking juvie,
no,
dude.
Fucking juvie.
Would have done push ups in juvie. But it's like, I don't know, like kids just being so careless.
Yeah.
Like, and they were like, it's a real gun. It's a real, like, actually, they told me it was a fake gun. So that's why I was like, really? It just looks so real. Like, no, it's fucking real. I was like, yeah, someone could have died. Like, are you insane?
Yeah, so you get Bart trying to shoot an apple out of Milhouse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared me, and it did kind of make me think of, we need to talk about Kevin, and it did make me think of, like, the reality of, like, what if this episode really just went there? And I know that it doesn't, because there are so many years after.
Cowabunga! Cool, man!
Yeah, and then
eat my shots!
That's pretty good.
Shut up.
Yeah, the way that Milhouse is drawn with like the apple in his mouth, and he's like so vulnerable in that moment. William Tell Jr.
Jinx. Yeah. So basically, yeah, Marge walks into this, and
walks into a real situation.
He does, and she doesn't. So basically, you know, Homer's just like, oh, I see Bart gets to have a gun.
Right. It's
such
so
a good,
good
joke. But then, you know, Homer says to her, just like, you know, Marge, I swear to you, I never thought you'd find out.
Oh.
Which I think is such a, not to go too deep into it, but I think that's how a lot of people live their lives. Like, I swear if I didn't.
I never thought you'd find out.
I was protecting you.
I am such a good person.
So this next line is something that I forgot was from this episode, but it's one of my favorite jokes. And it's basically like once the family has left, So Homer has to fend for himself. And he looks to Milhouse like, do you know how to cook dinner? And Milhouse says, do I? And he immediately goes for the pot.
Yeah.
And I want to know what he was going to make.
I want to know.
Chili.
Yeah.
Milhouse
five
chili.
Five alarm or three?
16
You don't want to be wax, do you, mister?
No.
He's hosting the NRA meeting.
Which stands for nachos.
Rifles and alcohol. I wrote that down.
And
that's a great joke.
Mo is a very good guest.
Yes. He brought.
Oh, fuck,
he brung.
Best.
He brung an array.
I brung ya.
This joke is so fucking funny.
We are
to me.
Saying it in tandem.
I brung ya.
One, two. No, I'm just kidding.
Ayo, ma.
I brung you a bag of irregular Oreos. Wait a minute. Yeah. This one doesn't look irregular. Bites into it. Oh.
Hey, what's wrong with this one?
I don't see what's wrong with this one. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Oh. As a kid, I just assumed it like fell into pee. Like, I don't know. Like, that, for some odd reason, I was like, what's
it's
a bar.
I love the open door quality of it.
It's an Oreo from a bar, so probably pee.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a specific joke. There could have been so many jokes in that moment,
yeah.
Schwartzwelder.
I mean, you got to appreciate
it. It was so good.
Yeah,
I love it.
So we get a look at this sleazy hotel, and it is exactly what you would think of as a very, you know, rundown, shady place.
Yeah.
You got some sex workers outside, presumably,
yeah.
Who are offering... Bart says, like, looking for a good time, sailors? I sure am. No, he's not. He's really not.
I love that. There's a great beat where I love it when they allow, like, especially in animation, allow characters to, like, have to think on it and then come back and do the follow-up
exactly.
joke.
Exactly.
We cut back on people who are having quite a lot of fun with Mo. He has that contraption. And that's how you turn a regular gun into five guns.
Yeah.
At which point we get a fun twist where Homer opens up his beer with a gun.
Everyone's horrified.
Truly
immediately.
Horrified.
Yeah.
This feels where they were trying to play both sides of the political spectrum because they're just like, well, any rational NRA member, which go fuck themselves, but like, they're like horrified at him and, hey, you're not being a responsible gun owner.
Yeah. And,
buddy.
You know, they've never seen so much like recklessness and,
it's almost weird to have like those characters come down on Homer.
I know.
It's like Agnes is going to preach to me
right.
about morality or like,
I know.
But yeah, we get that moment of like, you know, you might've hurt somebody or like, you know, and guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting, like exotic and tasty animals and keeping the King of England out of your face.
Yeah.
I love that it comes
back. King
of
England out of your face,
Now, please go outside until the meeting is over. But Mo is just like, and we got to take back that tattoo.
Your tattoo.
I didn't get the tattoo yet. And he had a
cheese grater
that he was going to grate it off.
Oh, my God.
He's disappointed that he didn't get to do it.
I love the cut to just them still partying, like, harder.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great like cut.
There's somewhat of a party going on at the sleazy motel.
Yeah,
with cut the back to the ranch.
Coin operated TV and the coin operated Bible.
Snapped shut.
But the beds. As a kid,
yes.
These beds not like make you.
Oh my
so
God.
Just like I want that.
Yeah,
your parents probably be like, my kid wants to be in a gross hotel. I must be a bad parent.
When you were thinking about Brown for this episode, I was thinking about beds.
I hated them. Like, I had to be in a bunch of hotels as a kid, and man, it was annoying.
Yeah?
To be in those beds. Yeah, yeah.
Because
they're bad
now.
Beds, usually.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, the quality of the bed's going to suck, therefore. So
I've been
it was like,
in a, right.
hardest bed possible, and just like, okay,
right,
cool.
Right, right,
well, I'm 9 years old and not trying to fuck, so this is bizarre. This is very bizarre.
Yeah, well, you are an anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
Yeah, being in a...
Yeah, what's
being
wrong
in a
me?
Hotel...
What a loser.
Where the bed is worse than your own bed is not
no.
good. Because
yeah.
No bueno. Yeah.
Doesn't take a lot to be better than the place I sleep.
Right.
If it's worse.
Mm-hmm. I had kind of an experience like this. The first stand-up tour I ever went on, I just went to Seattle, Portland, and Vancouver. Just did like a little circle. And I did one night in Vancouver.
Noise.
Just a little circle. But I did like that... you know, hotel tonight, mm-hmm. whatever, $50 mm-hmm. hotel thing.
Yeah.
And it was a quality level of, like, sleep-easy motel and just, like, bugs everywhere and people
no!
partying, like, hard down the hall. And so
tight.
I decided over the course
of... I don't know
of,
what's good, what's
no,
bad.
Don't do it. I decided over the course of my stand-up show that night that I was just going to drive from Vancouver to Seattle and, like, stay at my cousin's place and, like... drove, and it was also like the most gnarly rainstorm I've ever driven in my whole life. And like,
that's scary.
Was in the middle. My mom doesn't know this story. In the middle of the night, in the middle of the freeway, because I was hydroplaning all around.
Whoa.
And
oh,
the
no.
only thing oh, no. that was guiding me for like two straight hours was an episode of WTF with, I want to say, Josh Radnor. But I just will always remember
so
Marin's voice.
I need to know
life.
If Marin's still good with this guy.
I was hyper-focused.
Talk about Boomer.
I know.
Rest in peace, Boomer.
Rest in peace.
He's dead, right?
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Anyway.
Hey, have some respect for Mark Marin's cat. So, speaking of respect, Homer still, even being given these lessons, is not respecting the rules of good gun ownership.
Homership.
all aboard the friendship, is what I was trying to say. It's hot. It's hot in here.
It's hot in here.
So Homer turns off the lights with the gun mm-hmm. in every single room of the house. And he walks
so
in. He's
funny.
Just like, it's taken my family away from me. It's taken away everything that I love. My family, my kids, everything except my gun.
My precious gun.
It's so hard to get rid of it for him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's an idiot for sure, but I do feel like they're trying to, like, I don't know, really drive home that it's like, it's this power obsession.
Yeah.
You know? That's really what's driving Homer crazy.
I want to know more about the camera that's pointed at...
Oh, my God. What a great joke. Yeah, well, it again, like, Schwarzwelder, man, like, left and right. But we cut back to the Sleep Easy Motel, and we have Bart in bed, and he's looking up. They're, like, about to go to sleep, and he goes, hey, is that a camera in the ceiling?
Ugh.
And then we cut to the camera, and we just hear this voice muffled go, no, go to sleep.
Really dark!
Yeah.
Holy shit!
Who's that, Chuck Berry?
Yeah. So whoever that Voyeur documentary
that
was about.
Chuck Berry.
Mm.
Oh,
so
right.
Then we get, yeah. We get Mayor Quimby and Alain coming in. So I'm sorry, are you planning on staying here the whole night? Yes.
Aww.
Well, Quimby. And
Marge is sitting by the door with a bat.
Yeah.
While her kids. This
That's
is really
dark.
Bleak, you guys.
But I believe we have a clip here when Homer finds them in the hotel, and let's listen to it.
Oh, honey, please come home. I need you. It's dark in the house, and I'm hungry and lonesome, and there's no one there to hear my various witty remarks.
What about the gun?
It's gone for good, Marge. I finally realize what's the point of having a gun for protection if you've got no one to protect.
Oh, homie. Come on, kids. We're going home.
Yeah!
What a funny visual.
That's them riding on Spotty and
Stainy.
Smelly.
Spotty and Smelly. Yeah, I mean, I to your point, Allie, like, as a kid, I wanted this to be my reality so bad.
Yes.
Yeah, I, like, just dreamed of,
racing
like, some...
Racing beds.
Shoot higher.
Some vacation.
No. Julia, you can achieve so much more.
I was like, do they have those at Disney World? I want them.
I also, less impressively, really wanted to have a clicky pen contest, because that's something that Homer and Bart did. And they're just like, want to have a clicky pen contest? And I was like, yes, I do. I do want to have that. Couldn't really find a lot of kids that wanted to do it with me.
And it needs to happen organically.
Well, it was also like they didn't explain how to win. So, like, when I did find someone who wanted to do it, it was just like, I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, my whole
just
childhood.
Whoever gets carpal tunnel faster. Go.
Yeah.
Fuck it. We'll check back here in 10 years.
So basically, they're about to leave, and we get the guy at the front desk who gives Marge an envelope full of gross eggs, and then coughs and says, "Here's your continental breakfast."
Oh, oh,
that
God.
Was an image that stuck with me too.
That was great.
And then at this point, we get Snake, the villain of the Simpsons. Mm. comes in and
working under Mr. Burns, the evil,
ooh,
the evil cabal.
All the mob
evil.
Is there.
Yeah.
Oh, the lizard
there.
People of Springfield. Tell me more.
It's a very scary thing. We get a knife put up to Mayor Quimby's head or neck, be it as it were. And,
it's one thing. Head, neck.
Hey, head, neck. And so he's saying, just, you know, be careful. And then we get him. He pulls out his gun. Oops. Mm-hmm. He just said he didn't have it anymore.
Yeah.
He does. But it saves their lives.
What a liar.
Basically,
damn it, Homer.
It saves the day. But
God damn it.
until he reveals that there weren't any bullets.
Yeah.
He gets the bullets in his gun. But fortunately, everyone that's a member of the NRA comes in and helps because the dude pressed the button.
Yeah. Odd moment.
Odd moment.
Odd moment.
This is all very, like, plotty. Like,
it's super quick at the last minute, but this is what they do, you know, because they have so much fun in, like, Act 2, so, you know, it's almost a signature of a Simpsons episode to be like, let's just say it was Mo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good point.
But basically, he runs off, and we get the moment of kind of just Homer and Marge kind of dealing with the situation of, like, you lied to me. And mm-hmm. then, Hampton, this is something that you've been talking about throughout, of kind of like...
No, I haven't.
Admit it.
Open yourself to love.
All right, okay.
there's this point where he admits, like, I have a problem. Like, I cannot take this out of my life, and I need help. And it ends very interestingly, if either of you want to kind of walk us through that ending.
Hampton, you want to go for it?
Something that I thought was pretty interesting, how, like, the NRA group shows up, seems very similar to when they had, like, I think it was Homer versus Religion is a very early episode where he starts staying home.
Homer the Heretic?
Yeah, Homer the Heretic. Yeah, yeah. And then all the religious people, like, save his house.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it was all this, like, that episode, too, is this kind of moralistic journey of, like, what is organized religion? What does it matter? Why can't I just stay at home? Why isn't that just as good? And then, like, a community, like, saves them at the end.
Yeah.
And it kind of drives home that, like, oh, well, religion brings people together. It's community. So it's, like, both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I'm trying to walk that line, which I do not care for. But then this episode, same thing. I was like, just the NRA showing up as a group. It's like, oh, okay. You're trying to say, but there are, like, good citizens.
Right, right.
Who will take care of it.
An alternative would be, because as a viewer, you can kind of anticipate that in this moment, Homer is going to, you know, take out his gun and save the day so that it becomes this, like, sort of, you know, like, morally conflicting moment of, well, you did save us, where you, right, but, you know,
he
that
continues
would be,
to be inept. It's
like,
they actually save
that'd
it by making it.
That'd be a bigger statement than the NRA saving them.
And it's a better character decision for him to just be like, I don't have bullets. Like, he's just an idiot.
Yeah, but then the last moment is even more puzzling. Do you guys want to talk about
what
it?
What was it?
So basically, you got it. Bring us home.
Oh, Marge, right?
Yeah.
Marge gets the demon in her. She starts mass shooting Springfield.
Not that far.
Marge is crazy.
She catches her reflection. She's about to throw the gun away into this very shiny trash can. And she kind of catches herself with it and realizes what a babe she is. We get a little horny Marge.
Yeah.
A little presence of horny Marge at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't think she was going to show up, but
that's like
the writers got her at the last second.
Did you guys
horny
ever,
Marge showed up.
Did you guys ever watch Delocated on Adult Swim?
Yes.
Sometimes, yeah. Very good.
One of the best
love
shows
show.
Ever. One of the funniest jokes.
Whoa.
Better than The Simpsons. No. One of the funniest jokes that they kept bringing back was, because it was about, like, the mob and the mafia and blah, blah, blah. But, like, every time somebody would kill somebody, they'd get a boner.
Yeah.
Get another kill boner. Yeah, no, I know. So Marge gets a kill boner in this moment.
Guys.
She doesn't kill anybody, does she?
She doesn't know. She catches a glimpse of what are you bringing
Hampton.
I got
t-shirts.
Presents for
what?
You.
Oh, my gosh.
I got presents for the fucking house.
Oh, no.
These are Simpsons t-shirts.
Oh, my God.
Down with Homer.
Oh, Hampton.
Down with Homework is one, and then another one is Lenny's Bullshirt.
That's so great.
Fight for it. Fight.
We could take turns wearing them. I'll wear two on one day, and you wear two on one day.
Okay.
Handsome, thank you so much.
Great. Of course. They've been laying in my house for a long time. Oh. I cannot wear them.
Why?
They're too tiny for me.
Cool.
Never been worn. Washed a couple times.
Wow. I
wouldn't give you stained shirts.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
That's so
Thanks.
Nice. So are there any
guests? Take
are there
note.
Any what would you say is a good takeaway from this episode? Like, what is something that sticks with you about it?
I think I do come back to just like the strength of the joke writing is like really, really solid, like consistently almost every line, not every line, but just there's so many award-winning lines. Also, I love the Simpsons turn that mm-hmm. initially where it's about the soccer game, then it becomes about a riot, and then it's more about martial law is declared. Oh, no, we have to protect ourselves. Here's the episode.
Yeah.
Here's how we get into it, which I, you know, like the Simpsons like created that, you know, that thing of like it's a mislead at the top. Then they kind of overdid it, I feel, over time. Mm-hmm. To where it was like, what is this episode even about?
Yeah.
Whereas this was like a really nice turn into something you just didn't expect. And you're like, oh, it's a gun episode. Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, we had talked so much about the power thing at the end that Homer has this, you know, compulsion due to power. But we didn't actually say the line, which was just like, you know, it makes you feel like God if he had a gun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard that line and I was like,
that's so beautiful.
I got angry because it's so good. I wish I could write lines like that.
Which it doesn't have to be a Simpson, but which character in the show do you feel is the most like you?
King of the Hill.
The entire cast.
Be
the
serious.
The most like me? Wow, interesting question.
Thank you.
Boy, I don't, depends how you're feeling about yourself, right? Because sometimes you're like, well, I'm a good person, so Lisa. But then you're like,
right? Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's also like if I said Bart or Homer. I guess I am more like Homer. I am a big dumb idiot, and I make a lot of bad decisions, and I think that's actually like a, yeah, I get Homer.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Homer has levels, though.
His heart's maybe in the right place.
I think it is.
But he's so bad at it.
I think it is.
It's very selfish.
I guess it depends on the season, but I think generally, I think his heart is in the good place.
The good
his
place.
Heart is watching The Good Place.
ABC. NBC. It's a good show. Everybody
it's
should
a good
watch
show,
it.
Guys. Check it out.
Yeah. Hampson, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I really wanted to talk Simpsons, and this is the place to do it.
Did you get it all out? Do you have any hot takes or any things you want to say about the show before we wrap up?
A great show. Probably one of the biggest comedy influences. What can you say? Conan O'Brien wrote on it. Everybody's fucking amazing. And for a time and place, it was the best comedy on television. And, you know, it's still pretty solid. And I don't know. I'm very sad. Yeah. Very sad by life.
It's really good. It's really good.
Yeah. Do you have anything that you want to plug at this time?
Check out my podcast. If you liked my yapping, if you didn't like me on this episode, kindly go fuck yourself.
No!
But if you like me, check out my podcast, maybe. I don't know. It's with comedian Dave Ross, Suicide Buddies.
Yeah.
It's a mental health comedy podcast, and we talk about like a suicide in history and just mental health and depression all through just two buddies having a gab.
I like it.
Having a gab.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And where can people find you online?
At Hampton Yen. On Twitter would be best. Let's keep it pure, guys. I'm seriously thinking about leaving Facebook entirely.
Facebook is
It's just
bad.
Bumming me out so much.
Same. It's hard because I just...
The event, though.
I know, the event.
The messages I don't get.
The event, but then also I really love getting notifications for my Nana.
Okay.
I should probably just call her more. But who has the time?
Well, Julia, where can people find your grandma?
You can find Beverly Warren at
WorldStar.com.
She's the sweetest lady that ever lived. She's the best.
But where can people find you?
You can find me at Julia Preskin on all the things. Allie, where can people find you?
Thank you so much for asking. You can find me at Allie Gerson on all the things. You can find us at Simpsons Pod.
Mm-hmm. We have some exciting news for, I want to say, our next episode. We're going to announce some, live tour dates, maybe?
Hell yeah.
So stay tuned for that. And keep engaging with us on social medias. Thank you.
Everything's Coming Up Simpsons is a production of Maximum Fun. Our show is engineered and edited by Jesus Ambrosio, and our senior producer is Laura Swisher.
Swish!
All right.
Smell you later.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist-owned.
Listener-supported.